there's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.
Alrighty, folks, welcome to our first Tuesday Coffee Chat. I'm Nicole Sotts from the Living Free in Tennessee podcast, and we've got John Willis from Special Operation Equipment. And tell us about your shirt, John.
Conspiracy realists, facts aren't theories. I mean, they used to say 6 months of theory, you know, a theory became a fact 6 months. I think it's more like 2 weeks, if not even quicker now.
Yeah, it's amazing what's been rolling out lately. And we've got Jack Spierko from the Survival Podcast. You're just representing TSP today, I see.
Yep.
All right. Okay, well, what's top of your mind, guys, today? I know what's on my mind.
What's on your mind?
All of the flooding and stuff going on in North Carolina and Tennessee.
Has the water's mostly subsided by now, right? So it's just damage, missing roads, complete towns wiped out. A lot of people are saying that this is a lot like Maui. There's guys that are, helicopters are being grounded because the president was around. You have people saying that they're actually being stopped from bringing supplies in. Just the whole deal, right? So I know everybody's super gun shy, I guess, because of how Maui was handled, but that's the speculation, is that a lot of these towns that have been completely wiped out, they're not going to let them rebuild. They're going to pay them out at whatever value was 3 years prior. But you hear in Maui, they didn't pay any of those people out. They just completely moved them. And then they had a no-fly zone. Even after all that was over with, you're not allowed to put drones over because they don't want you to see that they're bulldozing all of that shit. So what's going to go there? The people who had been there generationally aren't ever going back into those areas in Maui. There's FEMA trailers in other places where they're setting them. So you don't really hear a lot about that after the fact, 6 months later or a year later. Thank God I don't know anybody that that's happened to, so I have no firsthand real knowledge of that. But I mean, I hear people, you know, Bear talking about that, being on the ground and seeing that crazy shit that happens. FEMA comes by, puts an X on the door and gives you 10 grand. 10 grand doesn't start you shit, but they basically buy your property, and now whatever happens to it has nothing to do with you.
How well do you think that's going to play out in Appalachia?
That's where I was going next.
I'm just thinking about some banjo music and some FEMA people disappearing if that shit keeps up. I mean, this is not Maui, right? These are different people. These are people who grew up, like, a lot of these people, their teething ring when they were a kid was a deer femur.
Well, let's hope they remember that, you know? Hope that is still in them.
Well, we've got people out there who were in situations where they, quote-unquote, needed rescue, refusing to leave.
Yeah.
That's how entrenched mountain folk can be, which is helpful in this situation. But they're also, like, we've been working with the town. It's on a mountain, and it's called Rome Mountain. And they're just, you know, they're like, be careful because people are starting to loot. And my contact said, this is Rome Mountain. That ain't happening here.
No.
But they're all, like, the communities are pulling together and getting stuff out to people who can't get out of their haulers and doing what they can, which is a great reaction, but they are just devastated over there. And that's not even like into where the really bad flooding is, right? Like that was runoff flooding. That wasn't Asheville is underwater flooding. Newport got nailed.
Yeah. But I think people are misunderstanding this too. Cause they're like, why didn't these people leave? Well, first of all, you have no idea the size of the area you're talking about here, right? This is a total geographic area, much larger than the entire state of Florida. This is multi-state. And then they don't get the sheer volume of catchment in those mountains, water catchment and creeks and streams and rivers. And it can only handle so much rain. And my understanding is there was already like a rain system in place. And then the remnants of the hurricane stacked on top of that. And it's just like a once in a century event. It's a 100-year flood. And I don't think anybody caused it on purpose or nothing, but they sure can choose how they react to it, and they can see an opportunity and they can seize on it. I mean, I've already got reports coming in, and this is firsthand. Well, I guess it's secondhand because it's reported to me of people with like supplies on trucks and shit, trying to get stuff to people and being told by FEMA, fuck off. You can't bring, you can't bring supplies in unless you're with us.
Yep.
And those people are also telling FEMA to go fuck themselves, by the way.
Like, yeah, what are they going to do?
I don't give a fuck. You're going to shoot me because I'm driving down the road in a truck? Fuck you. And just driving away. Yep.
And there's a lot of people saying that FEMA does that so that those people have no hope, right? So
yeah.
FEMA will dole out your flat of water to get you to sign. And there's a lot of people videoing that shit that have video evidence of that saying, you know, they're really strong-arming us to get us to sign these papers, in which case they now own the property in order to put us into a camp. And then in the, you know, a couple of years ago when this shit was going on, they were requiring people that went into those camps to also have the thing, you know? So it's just all super, super incestuous.
Yep. And they will sit there and look at a pallet of water that is not their FEMA water, and people can see the water and be thirsting to death, and they won't hand it out because it's not FEMA approved.
There's always, after all of these events, there are entire schools and warehouses and shit full of all that stuff people donated that was never fucking put where that needed.
Yep. That's why when we bring stuff, we make sure it's getting distributed that day. That's what we do. Because you also don't want to leave 40,000 hygiene kits at some gas station or church somewhere that never gets used, and now they have to deal with it. They've got enough to deal with right now. So, what are you doing? Oh, Jack was doing some strange dance on the screen. I want my coffee.
I mean, one thing I do want to say is be careful who you give money to.
Yeah,
to help with this, like
Definitely
American
Red Cross,
no money, not one dime to the American Red Cross. I had firsthand information on what was going on in Haiti during that earthquake, and the Red Cross raised like $500 million, like $500 million. No, half a trillion dollars, like 500 billion, like some huge amount of money for Haiti because so many people gave because it looked so bad. And I worked with a guy named Brandon who ran a small nonprofit that went down to Haiti multiple times for relief effort. They never saw the Red Cross do anything. They found one like poly water tank with a big Red Cross on it in the middle of a field, and it was empty.
Yeah.
So they did nothing. So American Red Cross, do not give them a penny. Do not give them a penny. Do not give them a penny. They're more worried about their CEO's jet fuel bill than they are about actually helping people. And I hate saying that, because they've always been like this icon of people that would come and help you, but they're shit at this point.
Well, every time one of these things happens too, you're bombarded with it on Facebook, all your online checkouts, any point of pay service at Walmart. They're all collecting that money, and then they sit on that money and they make all the interest on that money. And then after the fact, that money gets put someplace. Who knows where that actually goes? A lot of them get busted where it never even leaves their books.
Like I said, Brandon was all over Haiti, and he was like, nothing, absolutely nothing. He was also like, look, I know how much it costs to build a house in Haiti out of cinder blocks. They could have rebuilt all of Port-au-Prince and half of Haiti with the money they had, like brand new housing if they had actually used it there.
If you had one of the $1 billion, I mean, you could have solved a bunch of these problems already, all that bullshit going to Ukraine.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, do you like this? The fucking TN National Guard. They're deploying them to the Middle East to support Israel.
Of course they are.
While this is going on, I thought National Guard was supposed to, like, take care of your home first, right? Like, this is why we need that Defend the Guard Act that Tulsi Gabbard is behind. That basically you can no longer deploy National Guard troops unless we have a declared congressional action of war. And that, I don't know how anybody opposes that.
Yeah, this was... I'm going to show you guys something that Don put out that was pretty hilarious today. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
That's how we get it done.
That's how we get it done. Just change the name of, and then change Tennessee to Israel.
Yeah.
Right? Nashville becomes Jerusalem. We'll get all the money.
Stop
they
being anti-Zionist.
$16 billion, aid apiece, and then another $2 billion to Ukraine while this shit was happening.
Yeah, stop being anti-Zionist. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite reaction.
And they're
we don't
saying,
need any moaning or pissing, but yeah, let's just make a little statement about where the funds are going.
Yeah, the announcement yesterday was that the war US is officially in the war with Israel and Hezbollah or whatever was their official announcement yesterday.
Yeah, Tennessee Emergency Management says don't send aid unless they ask for it. They also, in that statement, said, unless you're working with officials on the ground. So anybody that you're working with in the local area is now an official, and go send the help that they need. That's it. We got somebody to donate their Starlink, and we set up a comm center so that people can start getting messages out. Talk to Evan. I was kind of joking with Evan, like, this really underlines how dependent we are on cell phones, right?
We saw guys buying all of the Starlinks from all their Lowe's, Home Depot, everywhere, and then taking those into that area. And there's massive trucks set up too. There's some badass, I don't know what those trucks are, but they look like storm chaser trucks.
Okay.
But they've got all kinds of massive antenna comlink stuff that's supposed to be on site out there too.
Yep. Well, and generators are super useful out there right now as well. For areas that are not, like, completely under mud.
Let me say this. Every time something like this happens, and we talk about FEMA response, whether it's all of us or just me, I hear from people in FEMA about what an asshole I am, and they're just trying to help and do good. So here's an open fucking invitation. Any of you guys that are high enough in FEMA to actually speak for FEMA, you want to come on my show and explain your policies? You're welcome. Fill out the fucking guest form. Come on and explain to us how you're helping by telling somebody not to give water to a thirsty person. I would love to hear it. And I'm usually nice to my guests. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm probably going to be a complete dick if you do it. But, hey, if you want to come stand in the fire, let's go. Explain this bullshit. Explain turning around trucks and supplies. Explain throwing people out of their own fucking house at their worst moment. Explain.
Forcefully. Forcefully. Not only discouraging them, forcefully trying to prevent them. Yeah, Bear said that their liaison direct with emergency management for Tennessee, I believe, which gives them full authority so that they can bypass FEMA and not have to deal with FEMA at all, which is Grindstone Ministries.
Yeah, so if you're going to donate money and you want a tax write-off and you want to help right now, Grindstone Ministries is the place to do it. That's what we've been saying. We've got a little side fund going in the sort of SRF LFTN community, but Bear's getting it out there, and they are flying stuff into people and getting it done, and it's useful stuff, and they don't mess around, those guys.
And I've been there. Like, I've been there in person. Amanda and I took a bunch of stuff up. Kentucky got hit, and we wanted to see that with my own eyes. And it's everything he says it is. Like, it's no bullshit. They're actually up there, and you can see that they're actually out there doing shit. And they go into areas like, you'll have all the news and shit in town square, and you'll have all the distribution hubs in town square. They go out and talk to people, and I don't know if we're supposed to put that out there, but what they really do is they deal with people that don't have insurance, single, especially people who have lost a spouse or lost their complete home and homestead, and they rebuild those people and make them as whole as they can.
And they have the equipment and people to do it. So that's good. And the other thing is, they did put a call out. If you're willing to be boots on the ground, reach out. Like, if you want to go there and do something, you can reach out. And they have a process you go through. But if, like, they need hands, they need people running shovels and running stuff from one place to another. And now's a good time to get involved with that if you feel so called. So
I'm also wondering, where's all the sheriffs in this? While this shit's going on, where's the Tennessee County Sheriffs? Where's the North Carolina County Sheriff saying, you know what, this is my fucking county. You're not going to tell people they can't help people in need. Why are the sheriffs not taking all these volunteers and effectively saying, you want officials, they're all officials, because I've formed a posse, not for the purpose of apprehending somebody, for the purpose of aid. Completely legal, and it would be fucking bulletproof if you men would stand up and do your damn jobs. The people of your county elected you to do shit exactly like this, exactly in a time like this.
You had a sheriff in Florida that said, hey, no presentation of firearms, suspension of sales of firearms, suspension of ammunition, no visible firearms. And they were basically equating it to him suspending the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Because it was a blanket. Man, he's getting hammered right now everywhere in media.
Oh, DeSantis told him to get fucked.
Did they?
A little bit nicer than that, but basically, yeah, get fucked. Like, that's not how Florida works.
And then local sheriffs, like, I'm sure they're gun shy of all these groups coming in. Like, if you don't know who some of these guys are, because there's going to be people it's typically when the looting starts. So until they, get some kind of rapport with them, you know, they kind of see it as probably getting their feet stepped on a little bit as well with like local, you know, law enforcement. But once they see, hey, these guys are really doing some shit, you know, those doors kind of open up.
Yeah. And you could do it in a way that they get credit, right?
Sure.
The local sheriff has organized this free food giveaway. Who cares who gets credit? Just get the food to the people.
Exactly.
Here's one honest question. Why was this so bad for North Carolina and Tennessee? Was there already flooding? Never seen a Gulf-based storm damage states like that.
Because you've never had a storm like that right here.
Yeah, didn't usually.
Didn't this storm do some weird path just like the one a few years ago? Like it was remote controlled almost.
Yeah, well, it circled around and it dropped, I think, the last time I saw the estimate, it was 20 or 30 inches of rain, which is a lot of rain to drop in a 24 to 48 hour period. And that just like the part of the world where it hit is it has steep mountains and runoff, and you don't get a lot of this kind of scale of flooding because the water just can't stay there because of gravity. But when you have that much water fall at one time, then it's a problem. And then we had one dam breach, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just one. And then we had other dams threatened to breach, which means they were not able to let enough water out that it wasn't going to start coming over the top. And then it wreaks havoc. So the dam system was not doing anything with that much. It was just so much water at one time. I mean, I was thinking about that here. Like if it had hit over John or if it hit over me,
yeah,
that volume of rain.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure my house wouldn't flood, but I couldn't promise you that wouldn't happen.
So to get an understanding, like the area I have on the screen right now for those on the video is just south of Asheville, where some really bad flooding was. Just look at the amount of creeks on the map, right? And then understand there's 100 more of them that aren't big enough to be on the map. It is a massive watershed. It has a massive amount of catchment. And I don't know if you know this, Nicole, but water doesn't go in granite. It doesn't absorb. These are all giant freaking rock mountains, and you get this volume of rain. And I do think that they had already had some significant rainfall, maybe not enough to be a problem, but it doesn't surprise me at all if this occurred. It does seem like they did kind of do this meandering thing the way that, what was the one here? It was Harvey at Houston, where it just kind of stuck in place for a while and sat over there. And this happens. I mean, there was one in Jacksonville back 15 years ago. It wasn't even a hurricane. It was a tropical storm, and it put Jacksonville underwater because it kind of stalled out. It's just like, and I was, Harvey was the one I'm like, I told people, get out of Houston. Get out. Don't even think about it. You could see the setup coming for that. It's a mess. But what's pissing me off is all these idiots online that are talking shit about these people who have lost everything. And saying, you know, they should have left. They have no idea what they're talking about. They're in their head. They're seeing this like your typical news thing where you have this giant hurricane coming and you live here on the coast and the ice coming right at you and you didn't leave. Well, okay, I understand saying that person should have left. Again, there was no way to really foresee this being this bad or knowing where it would impact. That's like people telling us, like, why don't you guys evacuate when there's a tornado in Texas? Leave from March until fucking August every year. You just don't know where it's going to hit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was supposed to be further west.
Yes.
Originally, it was going to hit the holler. It was going to be further west. It was going to go up through, and it shifted to the east. That's what happened. And people who were stuck in Asheville, some of them had left Florida to escape the hurricane and ended up in Asheville. Right. Yeah. Like they had evacuated to the place that got the flooding.
Yeah. Somebody was saying the ground was saturated. Like even here where we're at, we had rain for 5 days already. Mm-hmm. So we were saturated. Like we were saturated to the point when I would take a shower in the back on the fifth septic, I'd have to take a short shower because you'd see the water start to come up. So I'm taking a shower, turn the water off, soap up.
And it rinse off.
Yeah.
And Army showers.
It does that once or twice a year when the ground is just super wet. Like that's an old septic system. Yeah. So, I mean, had we had a real storm on top of that? Yeah. I mean, we're 120 feet above the river level right where we're at right here, but it would still be problems. Like even 13 years ago, we had the entire town on 641 flooded out and wiped out everything on the main 641. Everything was 4 feet underwater there. That was the same time Opry Mills got wiped out. That same flood. Like, we were trapped here for a week. You couldn't go on the interstate, was closed down for days. And then if you tried to go through Paris, there was a whole damn river coming over the road.
Yep. Okay, got a question here. If you are under threat of flood and are being evacuated, what do you load in the truck on your way out? Why don't you go first, Jack?
Same shit I'd load out for any reason I was evacuating. The flood doesn't even matter. It means that I'm leaving, right? So I'm worried about all the things that I need to provide for myself whenever I get to where I'm going to. I actually think it's more important for your bug out plan to include where you're going to go than what you're going to take with you, especially when it's a regional disaster, right? If you had a freaking Visa card and you went west, there's plenty of resources. Like, you'd be all right. I'm not saying not to take anything with you. I'm saying that the biggest hole people have is they have no idea where they're going to go and how they're going to get there. That's why I always had my rules of three. You have to have three destinations and three routes from where you are to each of those three destinations. Because you would, like you said, you'd think if you were in Tampa and I hauled ass up to Asheville, I'd be in pretty good shape. Not a bad place to ride out, you know, things. Asheville's a beautiful place, at least it was, but it didn't work out this time. So at some point, you've got to be half meteorologist and half navigator, and you have to be planning on where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. And I think that planning stage needs to be now, not while it's going on, because what happens is, and people throw peanuts from the peanut gallery at people all the time, like, well, you should have done this. You're not the one dealing with this shit, worried about your kids, worried about your animals. And if you're a homesteader, like, yeah, I'm taking my dogs and my cat with me, but I got all these other animals. I can't evacuate 50 ducks, right? So I've got to leave all this behind. And if I'm in a stress state when that's going on, if I'm trying to get my generator started with a flashlight in my mouth, that's a big difference than doing it when I just want to run some power tools out the back fence where I don't have power, right? So you have to drill this stuff so that when it happens, you're ready to go. You already know what to do. People have this misunderstanding, I think, that you will fall back to your highest level of training. You won't. You will fall back to your lowest level of training. I know you've shot a tactical response, Nicole, and that they're going to teach that whatever your lowest level of proficiency is, that's what you fall back to.
Yeah, I no longer have four fingers. It's more like this.
You did a great show years ago talking about exactly this, Jack. You were talking about your binder and having everything laminated.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, north, south, east, west, because we don't know which way the fire's coming from or the storm or God forbid a fire and a storm, you know, two incidents at one time. And you said, you know, just look out 50 miles, 100 miles. Where are those hotels, right? Let's identify those things. What is the availability of occupancy and how far is that emergency going to travel? And you had all of that. You're like, just have that in the binder, and every member of the family has that binder.
Yeah. I did that so long ago. What's his name? Master Guns was around, and he said that was probably the most important show I had ever done at the time. It was like 160-something was that.
So
wouldn't that make a good replay?
I'm pretty sure it's been replayed, but yeah.
I mean, right now?
Right now, yeah. But I'll find it.
Yeah, it's time to remake the show, though. Like,
yeah, you're probably right.
But Scott's still around. You know, Scott's got a young child now.
Really?
Yeah. I know Scott Anderson, in real life.
It was originally.
Yeah, now, the prepper PC. So you have, AI search tools going that you can run without being on the internet.
It was.
When the Paradise Fire came through and wiped out the town of Paradise, California. My family's there. Well, they were there. And she had about 5 minutes to get any dog she could throw in the car and get out. And the reason she lived is she talked to one of the fire guys and he said, don't go this way, go that way.
Yep. That's where Wavy and fuel cans come from, is Paradise. That's where that company is.
Yeah. So having, unless it was already in the car or you had it ready to grab on the way out the door, you're not thinking about anything when an evacuation order comes through. You're thinking about how to get somewhere, and having that documentation or having an idea of where you're actually going to go is just one more thing you don't have to think about.
I have hotel phone numbers and shit in it. Right?
That's what we're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. Like, you got to be able to get ahead, because people say, well, you can't get a hotel. Well, somebody did or they wouldn't be full, right?
these things were offline. They said 40% of Verizon customers were down yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what it was. I was literally in my truck an hour away messaging Amanda. None of my shit was going through. Cody's sitting right next to me on a Samsung, and his is pinging Amanda directly. Amanda, 5 hours later, leaves the building, and her phone doesn't work. We were pulling into the building. All of the internet and Starlink was working, but none of the cellular service was working on. Yeah. And coincidentally, maybe there's nothing to it, but it was Apple phones not working. Cody's Samsung worked just fine. So if you've got all that shit on your phone, I mean, there's still something to having, you know, that binder and having that stuff with whatever items in that pellet, like that thing you got right there, Nicole, that needs to go into a Pelican case.
Yep.
It's in one.
Yep.
Yep. But, you know, I can't count on this also being charged all the time, right? So that print paper doesn't run out of batteries.
It doesn't run out of batteries. And it's the whole point of it, too, was that there should be one of these things in every one of your vehicles. Think about some of our folks out here. You got kids that are like 16, 17, 18, but still living at home, but they drive. Imagine this shit comes in while they're at school. Right? They're at school and you get an evacuation order. And you got to explain to your hysterical 16-year-old daughter where to meet you. Because coming home is stupid. It's better if y'all converge and meet and get out together. Because when you get an evacuation order, sometimes it's, you need to get out of here by Tuesday. Sometimes it's, you need to get the fuck out of here now. Now go back to that scenario where that girl's freaking out. And you say, pick up the book in the back seat. Turn to this page. They should be exactly the same. Numbered pages. Turn to page 13. See where you are? That's where you are. See where you're supposed to meet me? That's where you're supposed to meet me. Just go there. People stop panicking when somebody's in charge and gives a clear directive of what needs to be done. And that's the most important thing in that situation, is to rein in the panic, because most of this stuff you can get through, but you can't get through it if you're being stupid and you don't know who's going to react what way to what. Like, I've seen people go that you thought would be just dead steady, go completely hysterical because they don't have a clear direction to follow. But as soon as you give it to them, it breaks that.
If this, then that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. And that book, it's literally like a choose your own adventure book. If this, go to page 2.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, there's John showing his Gen X choose your own adventure.
I think
love those.
I think we should do that. Like, the guys all walked in here to film the podcast a couple weeks ago, and I go, okay, it's choose your own adventure day. Do we load up and drive up to Kentucky and pick up all this stuff, or do we do the podcast? And every one of them's like, oh, let's go to Kentucky.
that's way more fun.
Now, those books, you used to get them like the Scholastic book fairs and shit. I used to try to kill my character as quick as possible. That was my goal. Like, it's like you're in a race car in the desert. The car's super overheated. You're out of gas. You have a 5-gallon can. What do? Wait for the engine to cool down or dump the gas in. Dump the gas in. Dude blows up. Like, it was all – because otherwise you could just easily get through it. I wanted the dude dead. It was more fun that way.
Speaking of which, Kurt, if you're listening to this, you have my road atlas, and I'll be at SRF this weekend. So if you could maybe bring that. I realized I handed somebody a map on their way out to East Tennessee. I'm like, I kind of want that back. And so when I go,
you just got called out. Yeah. And like, speaking of maps, like, be aware, maps aren't available like they used to be. You can kind of get some maps at some bigger truck stops, but order those. And when you order the National Geographic and the DeLorme, and there's one other main one, you get those big map books, and some of them are waterproof. They're on acetate paper.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them are different. Every one of them has something that the other two does not have on them. Like, if you're looking for rail tracks, there's literally rail tracks that are not in the other one, and then unimproved roads also. If you're looking to go off-roading or just firebreak roads and stuff, a lot of those aren't in some of those others. And then you can also – on, I think it's usmaps.gov or something like that. You can order on acetate at different levels of topographical maps, and you can order them to your state, your town, or just your specific zip codes.
Yep. It was Rand McNally that you couldn't think of.
That's the other one. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Everybody's screaming at their computers right now, Rand McNally.
Yeah.
And then, unless they're young, then they've never heard of it.
And everybody, like, especially when you get into prepping and you're learning about prepping, right? You start reading prepper fiction, and you're going to build out this trailer and have this thing sitting and ready to go. But when it comes time to go, most people don't have any of that shit ready to go. That bug out vehicle doesn't have fuel or the tires flat. I'm guilty of tons of that shit.
Yep. Although your 4Runner looks like it could go places.
It can.
Yeah.
There's always at least 60 gallons of surplus fuel here. Like that's just something we don't go without.
Correct. Yeah.
If a can is empty, it goes in the back of the truck, and the next time that truck goes out, it comes back full of fuel.
Yep, pre-programmed radios, ready to be life-saving. Yeah. I watched Evan do a comm shot up into, you know, the guys up in the mountains in North Carolina yesterday.
Yep. Pre-programmed radios, and you've practiced with it at least once.
Even if you have a class
you could take.
Yeah.
So at a time when people are going to be resource-strained, how does the longshoremen from Texas to Maine going on strike impact this?
No shit. And you have a perfect storm, right? Because everybody, the magic number right now is October 7th. October 7th being the anniversary of the Israel, the hang gliders coming into Israel. And then you have a call for action, and you have all these sleeper cells in the United States. But if you pay attention right now, you have a lot of dudes that are very out, like have huge YouTube channels that are not fearmonger guys. They're usually the guys that are like, hey, yes, be aware of it. Maybe don't be in a crowd. But you've got these dudes that usually don't say shit. They're usually like reining everybody back in. Hey, let's look at this logically. And they're going, hey, I would be careful of the 7th and 8th, Muhammad's birthday and then the anniversary of that.
So I think we need to look at this multiple ways. One is that type of possible threat sleeper cells. The other side of this is the impact of this is probably bigger than people think, because what you think is, okay, we'll have a shortage of stuff. Okay. But you have all these people that live through this region, a lot of blue collar people. What do a lot of them do? They drive trucks. So you lost your house, but you still have your shit together. At least you have a job and you can get to work and you get a flea bag motel or whatever to get by, or you stay with your brother-in-law, but at least you still have your job. Well, now we don't have any cargo for you to haul.
Wait till the internet doesn't work.
Right. Now we don't have any cargo for you to haul, because if you're not bringing it in and taking it out, what's the purpose of what is most of the shit that trucks move is moved either to or from ports. I mean, I would tell you that, and I know some people will hate me for saying this, but this would be a time for the federal government, if there wasn't a spineless dementia patient in the White House, to say, no, to go like 1980s Reagan. Remember when control people decided to go on strike, and Reagan's like, yeah, that's a national security issue. We can't have planes not able to fly. Bullshit, right? And like, you can collectively bargain your ass off, but we're not shutting down the skies. If I have to fire you, if I have to federalize it, if I have to bring people in, whatever, this is a national security issue. It's almost like the people in charge want there to be a problem.
Yes, and they said, we are not going, you guys are going to have to work this out, is what he said.
Yeah. Yeah,
you guys just need to talk more.
Yeah, also thought that the airstrikes in Syria were the strike of the longshoremen. That was Biden. He was asked on the tarmac at the plane. Now, I will give, he's an old man and there's a plane running in the background. Maybe he only heard the word strike, but that's not what I'm looking for in a president.
He just shouldn't answer questions on the tarmac for his public image.
No. What's the drop dead date on the strike?
Today. It started already. It started this morning.
So it actually took place. It's not some bullshit like, we're going to shut down the government, but not the IRS. We'll still shoot your dog. You just can't use a toilet at the truck stops.
You'll love this. The president of the union said, you know, we're going to cripple you. We're going to stop it. We're going to get our money. Oh, but we're still going to unload the ships for the government property.
Of course.
Because they'll be paid.
So the federal stuff is still going to be taken care of.
The union bosses will be paid.
Just hopefully you don't need any of that imported meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Which people don't realize how much of their meat is imported. You look across this country and all this beef that we grow, and you don't realize most of your beef is actually coming in from Brazil and Australia to the United States. And most of our beef is going to Europe because they pay a premium for our beef.
It's a fine line. There's a fine line between turning it off and actually being able to turn it back on. However, maybe it's good that this shit's shut down for a week. Maybe it actually wakes people up. And then you seem to have a separate government. You got Trump having meetings with Zelensky going, hey, you're going to work this shit out. Like, yep. All these people come in to talk to the White House and end up meeting with Trump. And now Kamala was Kamala. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm negotiating with the current administration, but there's a real chance in a few months it will be this other person running things. I'd cover my fucking bases and meet with both of them, too.
And you have Kamala at a gala at a ball in Washington, D.C., rather than, you know, touring or going to North Carolina or Florida or any of these other places. And then seemingly all of a sudden the FBI has decided to do their fucking job and arrest some of these criminals. Yeah. Almost like they're like, oh, maybe we better start ebbing this other way because we're going to be the ones on trial.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing to me how much the deep state is shitting his pants right now. Like, mortal enemies have coalesced together, right? Like, the Cheneys and the Bushes have coalesced with the Obamas. Like, that tells you they're shitting themselves, right? They brought Hillary back out to sell a new book and talk shit. Like, I have a math question. How is this race, if you're to believe the polls, as tight as it is, when at the same time you're being told record numbers of African Americans are going to vote for Trump, record numbers of Hispanics, like all these Democrat like strongholds that they've always had 80-90% of the vote, you know, you're swinging 30-40% in some cases of that vote. How does that, what makes up the difference? I mean, is it all suburban Karens? But they already pretty much were very much locked stock with the Democrats anyway. So where do illegal aliens with voting rights now or what? Like,
no,
but that should show up in the polls.
The polls.
I don't believe these polls at all.
It's because they're polling the Aspen Karens at your Starbucks right outside your town. Yep. And they're polling 30 of them that walk in, the wine moms. Like, those, they don't. It's all bullshit. Nobody fucking believes that. I mean, you have members of the Democratic Party being caught on audio going, hey, I'm really concerned about this.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have the numbers. Kamala's completely crashed.
Yeah.
I mean, she can't have a coherent. She goes out on Oprah and is like, yeah, I'm shooting any criminal that comes into my house. Meanwhile, they're like, we got to take all your guns.
Yeah.
And then you got, who is it? John Kerry got caught or was just given a whole speech somewhere saying we need to basically suspend the First Amendment because it's really hard to govern when people can say what they want to say on social media. We need to be able to control that.
That's the new thing. Like, all of them are going after that now. Gates, Kerry, Clinton, right? They're all waging war on the fucking Bill of Rights and the Constitution. I've seen articles coming out left and right in the last couple of weeks about how the Constitution is a problem. It needs to be done away with. It needs to be torn apart. Like, and then, you know, when Kerry says something like, well, the First Amendment is a roadblock for us. Yes, ass fuck, it's supposed to be. That's the entire purpose of the Bill of Rights, is to be a roadblock for you people, not for us. Nicole's got her
shit
going,
man.
I'm gonna turn mine on.
And
too.
to be unburdened by what has been, whatever that is. If you look at where that came from, that's Marx. That's Marx wrote that shit, or somebody. It's in the Marxist book.
They're
a desperate animal.
Do you know why she's unburdened by what has been? Because the media
makes sure
that she's unburdened by what has been. They have not made her burdened by what has been as recently as yesterday. Like,
she's never been.
I'm serious. Like, I would have that if I were her. I'd have that shit tattooed on my arm. Unburdened by
she
what
probably
has been.
Does.
Like,
she
zero
she
accountability
does.
For anything she's ever said or done. The latest one I heard was some pundit saying we should not elect presidents for their policies because that's not really what's important. What's important is their character because you never know what's going to happen. Now, when I thought I heard the most retarded bullshit that I would ever hear, I was wrong. And I continue to be wrong about, okay, it doesn't get any dumber than this. And yes, it does. It absolutely does. Unburdened by what has been. I want to be unburdened by what has been. I want her ass and her dementia buddy out. Like, that would be unburdened by. If I were Trump, I would turn that into my freaking campaign slogan. Unburdened by what has been.
Like his people have done some good ones. But I mean, with all that, keep in mind, like this government is, like somebody said in here, they're a wounded animal backed into a corner right now.
And they're dangerous.
The last, super, like they're, if they have nothing to lose, they want to take your guns away. Why? You better ask yourself what they want to do to you that they need you unarmed. And like you have no, like you, all these prepper fiction books, right? Somebody lets a little EMP go and blames it on somebody else and wipes out all the, you know, electronics in this area. Well, meanwhile, they still, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Choose your own adventure. Do you go into the,
make your own adventure is more like it.
Yeah. Don't. Those race middle class. That's it. Yeah, isn't that another good one? She sees over and over. I was raised middle class, and somebody did the research in that necklace she's
Grandma
always wearing.
Ball.
$64,000 Tiffany necklace. I was raised middle class.
I
know,
remember.
You know what she could really say something stupid? When the hands come up.
Always.
Go watch anytime you see her talking. When the hands come up and the head starts bobbing, stupid is about. And I know what some people are going to say. Well, if she opens her mouth, I get it. I'm talking about degrees of stupid. When she's going to go like 33rd degree stupid, that's what all – first she'll be talking, and then she starts bobbing the head, and then the hands come up, and then the two go together, and when that happens, it's over. It is like,
Grandma,
you're like, what in the hell is this person saying?
Yeah, Candace Owens said, you know, my team did some deep dive research, and she wrote in her book about how she was canning in the bathtub with Grandma Bale or Grandma Ball. And then they come to find out Grandma died in 1960. Kamala Harris was born in 64. It was
not
all
a
horseshit.
Single authentic cell. Not one authentic cell in that woman's body.
Well, here's what is authentic. She knew that she was supposed to let these dudes out of jail, but she kept them in jail through the fire season to use them on fire crews. She knew that DNA evidence said this man was fucking innocent, but she kept him on death row years later afterwards, knowing that he was not fucking guilty.
That's as far as I got in her history before I even, like, not that I was going to vote for Kamala anyway, but I was like, that's all I need to know.
Yeah, I'm done.
And they said,
that didn't change. That's,
so what
you know, there are things in the past where
their
you can grow,
changed,
keeping slaves in prison when you know they're innocent does not mean you're going to stand up for what anything that's right.
I saw Candace Owens said, you know, we researched this out to see which presidents were not slave owners. And out of all the presidents, the only president that was not a slave owner was Donald Trump. Even Kamala Harris's family tracked back was slave owners.
Okay, you're saying the family. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
family hit in the heritage, in the history.
Ulysses Grant directly owned slaves. They were actually his wives. He had two slaves. The commanding general of the Union forces was a slave owner.
Yeah, even if Trump wins, don't expect peace. I mean, did you see any peace? Where were the riots? When was the most riots? Who was president? Like,
Trump.
They burnt the fucking church down across the street.
Yep. A Foster thing, if it's bad enough, Jack will vote. I'm not voting. Y'all can say whatever you want. You can have any fantasy you want. And there is no reason for me to vote. This is Texas. Your orange man will win Texas. My vote does not count and does not matter. And I don't want any of these people running things. But if you put a gun to my head and make me pick one, I'm all orange man. 100%. 100%. I'm more concerned about this election, assuming that we can trust the result at all. Because I know I can't trust it, but at all. If this country legitimately chooses this moron, I'm seriously looking at a Plan B passport. Because,
well, I mean,
I'm writing you guys off. I'm sorry. Like, because the people that vote believe in voting. They believe that it matters. They believe that it works. And if you believe all that shit and you vote for someone who has the IQ of a freaking sea otter, I got nothing. I got nothing for you.
Just expect Kamala Harris to get more votes than Obama.
Which is impossible.
Well, so was the last one.
For it to be real.
How many dead voters in Texas does it take for that state to go to Kamala?
I don't know. We just purged like 750,000. So did North Carolina. Purged massive numbers of dead, moved, double issues. North Carolina only has 10 million people. They purged 750,000 bad registers. I didn't say they had 10 million voters. They have 10 million people. That includes little babies.
You
almost 10% of the state was represented illegally. on the voter roll.
There's people at the DMV all over the United States saying they are registering when they are giving a driver's license to an illegal immigrant. They are registering to vote. They're calling the police and sheriff's departments on this. There's multiple of these videos out there of it.
Yeah. Arizona just admitted they have 250,000 people, administrative error, listing them as citizen voters who are not, but it's too late to do anything about it, so they get to stay on the rolls this election.
Yeah.
John's locked up again. They don't want him talking today, man. They got the black helicopter.
I know, he's been in and out a little bit.
I'm on Starlink here, and I mean, we're really clear, so Starlink should be working. We probably just need to reboot it.
Yeah.
Starlink has been great. We ordered the mobile version, and it literally shipped. Like, we ordered it Sunday, shipped Monday, and we had it Wednesday. And it works. Every time my other internets, I have two other feeds coming in, cable lines, and they work great until they don't. And Starlink always works. The only glitch with Starlink is in a storm, and it still works, just not quickly.
I've had storms where Starlink was the only thing working in the holler.
For real, yeah.
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 But it's actually nice to have all the neighbors so everybody can have their own internet and we can fly from one to the other when stuff goes down.
And they've got for the Starlink now, I mean, I just saw a thing. There's a bunch of dudes doing it for race trucks, and they take the whole package out and make it very compact and weatherized. But they got a plate right now you can buy that takes two DeWalt batteries or two Milwaukee batteries that'll run this sucker for 18 hours.
That's badass.
Yeah, portable. You need any feed.
Yep. Is Starlink being overloaded with all the outages? Based on reports I've heard from folks who are using it in East Tennessee and North Carolina, it does slow down sometimes, but it's been the thing that's functional for the internet. So, you know, it's kind of like when the cell networks are being used for internet. Yeah, you get some, I have to wait a minute moments, but that's better than what we've ever had.
In the end, there's always a finite size to any data pipe. It doesn't matter where you put it. It's still got a limit.
You guys can still get with Evan right now, and he'll program your radios and send them right out to you at radiomadeeasy.com.
Radiomadeeasy.com, right behind John on the yellow sign.
It is said that all new phones have satellite phone capability. You can pay to have it turned on, but in an emergency, it's there, they say also. I don't know who they is, but I've seen it many times. You can also buy a satellite phone. There's probably five dozen different one packages and phones you can get. You can use them just for text. They have like all kinds of stuff for that.
That's not a bad prep. If you live, especially in a place that's likely to be cut off. And here's how you know, if you live in a place where there's basically one way out, you're likely to be cut off. I don't care where it is.
And even if we're not worried about EMP, most Faraday bags are roll top waterproof bags. Almost all of them are dry bags.
Which is also helpful.
And they float.
Floating is good. Ask any person with boat.
Your keys
go on a floaty. They do not go on a key ring for your boat.
I bought every Faraday bag they had on Amazon. And the nicest of them, the ones that I like the best, are the SLNT Silent. I have no tie to them at all. But they have big ones that are like a big-ass backpack, and you can put a ton of stuff, and you roll that sucker up, and it floats. You can push the air out, or you can leave the air in. It rolls up like a dry bag, clips down, and has backpack straps. You can get any size. I can put all of my computers and all my stuff in that thing.
Here's an interesting thing. Puerto Rico, supposedly no tax on selling Bitcoin there.
I thought that's the currency. I thought they switched and that's their actual currency in Puerto Rico. Is it not?
No, that's El Salvador, John. That's El Salvador.
Yeah, I don't know. So Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States. So wouldn't you still be subject to the federal capital gains, right?
Yeah, maybe they have no what we would call a state income tax on Bitcoin, but I don't know how you would get out of federal tax obligations living in a U.S. territory.
That's one I'd want to talk to the CPA about for sure.
Yeah, my accounting mind does not. If it's true, great. But I just, you know, it's not the Bahamas, right? I mean, but El Salvador is starting to look pretty good.
I saw some videos of guys driving home. I think they're in like Philadelphia or somewhere, and he's like, here was my drive home 6 months ago, and it looks like a war zone, like lights are off and all kinds of shit. And he goes, I moved to Russia, and here's my drive home. And it looked, I don't know if it's bullshit or not, but I mean, like, that looks pretty opulent. Like, that looks kind of like Dubai at night.
Yeah. Russia's got some good things, but like every country has a lot of bad. Like, some of the shit we say, we'd get hauled in Russia. We would. But from a day-to-day quality of life for the average person living in a town, their streets are clean. There's very little crime, because part of it is because the Russian police will not just arrest you. They will beat the fuck out of you, right? Like, I don't know how Germany is now, but that's like all the guys I served with back in the 90s. And even when I served in Germany, it's like, you do not fuck with the Polizei. They just come up and just start beating the shit out. Don't worry about who's wrong and right. After everybody's beaten to submission, they just beat everybody's ass.
Yeah, there's you and you, and then there's us. Yeah, we know guys that were with the FSB.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, you can move to Russia, but your kids are definitely going to war at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, El Salvador's looking pretty good. Like, you can spend 3 Bitcoin in El Salvador and you get immediate national status.
Can't you pick, mangoes up off the ground? Man.
And you don't have to, like, you don't give it to them. You just have to spend it in the country. So you could literally get a mortgage for a house, convert it to Bitcoin, and then buy the house with the Bitcoin there. And here, you're now a El Salvador national, and in 5 years, you can apply for citizenship.
Interesting. When I was in Lompoc, when I was in federal prison, all the talk was, you know, all these guys, they were wronged, and we're going to leave the United States and go to Canada. You have to put up a $100,000 bond for 10 years in Canada. When you have a criminal record in the United States.
My grandfather was Canadian. I might be able to crawl back in there, but I don't think I want to.
No. Well, I think that the new Underground Railroad is going to be us harboring Canadians.
Yeah.
It could be.
We just bring them in and then, you know, take Canada for all their resources.
The new Underground Railroad might be getting our asses to Mexico.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, there's the old saying that people that build walls initially build them to keep people out, but they become walls to keep people in.
Derek Bros is actually running an underground network to get people into Mexico. They do come in legally, but he helps them with that because he's bilingual and has the connections. And they've been doing that for a while. It's like, if you want to go with us, come with us. We'll get you over the border.
Man, Mexico seems great until it's not. I mean, you have like that whole Mormon family down there that was gunned down, like the cartel stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. If I had to pick a place in the Americas other than the United States, the nation I would pick would probably be Costa Rica. I spent a lot of time there in the 90s, and there's not a lot of the drug shit. The downside for an American is you will never be able to do anything with your land. Like, the way it is the way it will have to stay. You can buy a place, you can have it, but you can't change shit. Like, it's just almost impossible. I don't know if you know Kelly Beware, Nicole.
No.
Pretty big in the permaculture space. Her and her family, they left Montana and went to Costa Rica. They were there like a year and said, fuck it, and came back because they couldn't do anything.
Friends who ran a farm here called Windy Acres Farm. They had just started running it for a couple of years after the original owners died. And they were one of the best organic, grown in Tennessee feed sources.
Hmm.
They ended up relocating to Costa Rica. They bought a big place, went down there, and they're basically rebuilding what they were doing here down there because of our regulatory environment and some other things. Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. You have to buy a place that's already the way you kind of want it. The other way would be to install a Costa Rican owner who you work under, except you're actually the one with all the money, so that they're the ones making the changes. Because what Kelly told me is you can't do anything. Like, you can't put a swale in, right? Mm-hmm. But if a Costa Rican was, like, putting a coffee plantation in, they wanted to put in a swale, no problem. But you're an American. You don't get to change things.
Well, you got to marry a Costa Rican.
Yeah.
That's how Rosarito and what's past Rosarito? Anyways, Ensenada. You, as an American, you could go down there and buy one of these condos, you know, right on the beach. But it was just a 75-year lease. You didn't actually own that thing.
There's a lot of places like that.
Yeah.
My understanding, Costa Rica, you can own property. You just can't change it.
Hmm.
It's weird.
Okay. J.D. Durass says Puerto Rico has a high territorial tax, but no federal income tax. He still pays Social Security and Medicare. and no capital gains either.
Yeah, because we're going to get that Social Security.
Okay, so if you go live in Costa Rica for a couple years and change Bitcoin into other currency and then come back into the United States, are you going to get nailed with it then? Is the question.
Yes. Yes. Unless you obtain citizenship in your host country and denounce your American citizenship, especially capital gains, there is a certain amount of income you can earn that you don't pay any tax on. But capital gains is handled differently.
But aren't Puerto Ricans U.S. citizens?
Yes.
Do they have a second citizenship? I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
but they fall. They fall that in Dominican Republic. They both fall under Berry compliancy. So if I'm doing military contract, I can offshore. I can go there, and the pay rate and the pay scale and the work ethic is very, very different than running factory here. And they get away with it that way. What happened
when you try to repatriate the money? Right.
Right.
That's where they get you when you try to bring the money back in. But with Bitcoin, did I bring it back in? Unless I'm spending it, where is the geographic location of my Bitcoin?
Right.
It's not a bank account, right? So like if Apple wants to repatriate their money from China, they're going to take this huge hit. That's one of Trump's things he wants to do is make that basically if you bring your money back, you just keep it. Because it's better to have the money here than in China. But they have a bank account. I just have a digital ledger.
Their point was you could sell Bitcoin without paying the capital gains there.
Yeah.
Well, then presumably you've sold it for some other currency.
Correct. But if you try to bring that money back to the United States, but if you sold it and spent it.
And then bought Bitcoin back on your way out.
You're not repatriating any money. I don't even care. Like, let's say I go down to Costa Rica and I start trading Bitcoin and my value of my Bitcoin goes way, way up. I'm just trading in and out, right? I'm going to dollar, you know, tether and back, and I make a bunch of money. Now I come back to the United States. Have I repatriated the money? If I moved it into a bank account in the United States, I would have repatriated it. If I'm holding it on an exchange that does business in the United States, I've repatriated it.
Well, as soon as Jack...
I just have the access information. I haven't repatriated it. It would be when I converted it or spent it and created a taxable event in the United States.
But as soon as Jack gets takes over Alex Jones's show, now that that's shut down, they will go through all Jack's shit, and they'll be right there to take all Jack's shit. What happened to California... saying that even though you move out of California, you have to pay California income tax 8 years retroactive, even though you're no longer a resident of the state. Have they ever enforced any of that shit?
They can't.
That's what I thought. I had some child support stuff with California. Like California says I still owe all this money. My money goes for child support to state of Tennessee from Tennessee to California.
Yeah.
My child is 23 years old.
You shouldn't have any.
California says I still owe all this money. And I told my attorney, I'm like, why doesn't the state of Tennessee just tell California to piss off? And he said, well, when that happens, you'll have a civil war. Like when states start doing that, that's when that all goes negative. They still send me a bill. I just don't pay it. They still send me this bill saying I owe all of this money every month. And every now and then a deputy walks in here, serves me, and I got to go to court. And the judge goes, isn't this kid 22? Like the judge knows me. And we still have to do this bullshit.
I wonder how many more years you get to do that.
So
30, probably. My kid will be 50 years old and they'll still be telling me I owe it.
Bob Lester says all good people move to Ohio. Nothing bad ever happens there.
There is a lot of good people in Ohio.
There are. Yeah.
They're eating the pets.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cat. Bob is an hour from Springfield and he went over there and I said, what did it look like? He said, I didn't see a single person that looks like they are from Ohio there. It was a population. What is it? It was a population of 50. And they infused 25,000 people in a period of, I think it was 24 months. Like, and these videos of them eating cats and dogs and shit, some of those videos are 18 months old.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not as new as they're making it out to be. And I think when you have journalists, so-called journalists, saying we called the city manager and he said it's not happening, and that's the extent of your journalism, I don't trust your journalism.
Well, of course the city
manager. That's not journalism. What do you think he's going to say? Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah.
The governor of Colorado also said that the Venezuelans didn't take over apartment buildings, and we had video of them walking around with AK-47s in the apartment building. And then you know how they do the goalpost moving. Then what do they say? Well, Aurora, Colorado was not taken over by Venezuelan gangs. No one fucking said that. What people said is they took over this apartment unit, these two apartment units, but what they'll do is they'll change it to a ridiculous claim and then say it's been debunked.
Did you see?
John, you brought up a phrase, though, and maybe we should just, hell, it's apocalyptic time. Maybe we should just go into there. John brought up the term civil war. Is it just me, or do you feel like this country is probably closer to a civil war right now than it was in 1859?
Well, 20 years from now, when they write the start of the Civil War, what's that date going to be, right?
Yeah.
When did the Civil War start at Sumter, or did the Civil War start 3 years prior with Bloody Kansas? Like, it just depends who writes that in the future. Are we actually in Civil War?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my perspective. Hasn't it already started?
So one of the things that people say about the American Civil War is it wasn't a civil war. It was a war of independence. And if you wanted to take that all the way, you could call it a failed war of independence. And those people are not totally wrong. Usually they want to say it's not about slavery, but every southern state that seceded said it was about slavery in their Article of Secession. So we're not going to rehash that. But it was a war for independence in that these states said we're leaving and these states said we're not and you can't go. And so we had this line. And for all the talk of brother killing brother, pretty much everybody knew whose side everybody was on. And there was a bit of time, if you didn't want to be on your side, that you could have seen it coming and hauled ass to the other side. If we have a civil war today, does anybody believe it's going to be that a clear line, a new Mason-Dixon line? And if you think that, where do you think it would be? So I think you're looking at like a giant version of Bosnia-Herzegovina if this country goes into civil war. You're not looking at, you know, two armies lining up and fighting in battlefields and marching up and down through the country. And I think most people in their head, that's what they think a civil war would be.
No, there's not going to be two different colors of uniforms.
No. Like I interviewed several people after kind of everything cleaned up in Bosnia. And a lot of them said there were people that were literally going into other families and raping their kids so that their side wouldn't throw them out, to prove that they were loyal to the side they were on. And people will say that's sick shit, and it is. But I think people don't understand how close humanity always is to sick shit.
Well, if you look at what happened when Germany was overthrown and France came in for the cleanup and those 900 troops, even U.S. troops, you hear a lot of that shit. And if you look at what Israel is saying right now about that incursion, and if you look at what the other side is saying about the other incursion, it happens everywhere. We just don't discuss that.
No.
I do think we are closer to more people willing to do levels of violence against other people based on things that basically don't matter, which is a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
Like they
dehumanize anybody who thinks this way. And with that dehumanization, the shit they're willing to do to people is horrible. That isn't always under the psyche of a human somewhere, but it's surface now.
Think of the damage they're doing to people mentally here when they're saying shit like Trump is literally Hitler, right? And if he gets elected, he'll never leave office, and he can send SEAL Team 6 to kill his political opponents, and that's okay.
Look at the people saying it.
Yeah.
They look like disheveled Simpson characters.
They do, but yet it gets amplified by the media. And think of how many millions of people literally believe this bullshit. And let me put it this way. If anybody was likely to become our next president, and you believe that they were literally Hitler, like they were going to recreate the Holocaust, wouldn't you try to get rid of them? I mean, wouldn't you do whatever you could to get rid of them and their followers? Like if you really believe the shit that they're saying, like he's going to be a dictator for life, you know, like it's insanity. But look how many people still think you should have stayed 6 foot apart during COVID.
Well, right? There's a good example, right? Who was wearing the costumes during COVID? Many of them still wear the costume. They go out in public as a character. That is their identity. The majority does not have children. And they are, in fact, crazy people or elderly folks that still just watch CNN, right?
Yeah.
And I am of the belief that while we are told that is the mass amount of these people, I think it's the very amplified amount of these people. Because if you go out in town and you ask these questions, like, do you know anybody? And people are like, well, you're just asking people you know. But if you go out in town, it is few and far between, no matter which direction you travel. I think they amplify. You've got the virtue signaling wine moms. You have the cartoon characters that literally look like a cartoon character. And then you have just elderly folks. If we go to Nashville or Jackson, which are the two major cities near us, it's mostly very elderly black folks that are wearing masks. And most of the people wearing masks, they are very, very dirty masks. It's like they're literally wearing the same damn mask from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And many of them are very disheveled. They look like they don't use they don't wipe when they go to the bathroom. Their hair is crazy. Like they literally it's just insanity. Like if you backed up 50 years, you'd have had a dog catcher catch that person and put them in a poorhouse or an asylum.
I was going to say there's people that say we need to change MAGA to make asylums great again.
Yes. Yes.
Right. I mean, I if you look at the crime rate from when they shut down asylums, and I'm not saying that system was all in good. I'm just saying that there are certain people that okay, you are a danger to yourself and others. And since you haven't actually done something that involves you going to prison, we need to take you somewhere and figure out if we can fix your head. Because I'm sorry, if you believe you're a thing that you're not, you're fucking crazy. If you want to pretend to be something, I don't really care. But when you start demanding that other people acknowledge your mental illness, and, you know, we used to make jokes about it and say, well, the person says they're a man, but what if they were to say they were a dog? But now they actually want you to acknowledge that. There's kids that are demanding litter boxes to shit in school because they say they're a cat.
And when you say this, somebody's like, nah, that's surely not. And every time somebody's like, yes, I was at a school meeting. Yes, Tampon Tim. It's the same bullshit.
Yeah.
Go to REI. I used to love REI. REI.
That was a fucking shit, didn't it?
REI, holy shit. Tranny guys are their main promotion. There is tampons in the men's bathroom. It is absolutely insane. You walk in there and you're like, what a clown show. Like, this is where the circus has gone.
Oh, yeah.
And Dark Horse Productions says it's very much a thing.
That's
a good podcast if you want to check out one that you haven't listened to, by the way.
So I don't know how you get to this place unless people that are pulling strings make it happen. It is so bizarre. It is so outside of anything that makes any rational logic or sense at all that somebody in charge has to want it to happen. Because I truly believe if somebody started spewing this bullshit back in mid-80s, it would have just been shut the fuck up. Society would have just said, no, fuck off. And that's, I know it seems like a long time ago, but it's you know, human lifetime, it's not that long ago. We were all teenagers in the 80s.
Listen, for people listening, remove your kids from this stuff.
Oh, yes.
You have the ability, especially with the Celis Academy, because we used to, we've been conditioned in 1971 when we went off the last vestiges of the gold standard, right? And women were told that you're of no value if you don't provide for your family. And then we convinced everybody that both sides need to go to work. And it's the same time that the school system, the school system was pushed before that public school, but that's when it actually became, we're going to round you up and you're going to go to jail if your kids don't go to school. And you rely on them for that babysitting now. And the most common thing is, I can't afford daycare, right? Everybody says they can't afford daycare. With a Celis Academy, you have the ability to remove your child or to put them in some kind of homeschooling co-op or a private school of some kind, or even a faith church-based school. And then you remove them, right? And then what does the right side do? We scream about abortion and killing children. And I've been saying, what do we care if they want to sterilize their kids? All that does is mean that your children and grandkids they were literally the craziest people in society screaming in the costumes right now, don't have children. They have literally removed their ability to produce kids. That's a fucking great thing for our future generation. The things that we are frustrated in talking about, they're going to take that right out of the gene pool. Let them fucking take it out of the gene pool.
It won't work. I can't get it. There it goes.
Yeah, you have to hold still, Jack. That's
all right.
So Bob's children are they've built this beautiful farm and they are living on the farm now. They've moved out of the city, right? And his kids are taking Acelus Academy. What he's finding is, and he's had confidence, he's talked to Acelus Academy. They will not let his kids progress past a certain, like they want to go to the next level and they won't let them because they've already accelerated so much. Have you seen anything like that, Jack?
Yeah, there is a throttle on how fast they let a kid progress, because let's be honest, your kid could cheat. I mean, that's why we keep a close eye on our two grandchildren that are using Acelus, but they're moving fast enough that they're finishing 2 to 3 months early every year. And we haven't run into that. So that dude's kid must be really hammering things.
Well, he's super smart too.
Yeah. And what I would tell that person is, okay, so Acelus is what your kid does to check the boxes. Because when they're done with it, they will get a high school transcript that anybody looking at it would not even know they were homeschooled, right? That's one of the beautiful things about Acelus, because it's a fully accredited school. Its corporate location is actually California. So you're not really homeschooling in the legal sense. What you're doing is you're using a correspondence-based accredited K-12. And so that's what you do. And so let the kid do that. And let him unschool himself on other shit. Oh, right? Don't worry about
when he will
boxes any faster. Yeah. Go out and learn. Like, tell him, pick something to learn about. Because you're really only doing like 4 core courses there. I wouldn't worry about it. And it is the best program for the most people that we have found. Like, I'm not saying it's right for everybody, but it's an easy button, and the support is there too. If you have something they can't understand. And I would tell people, like, one of the other things that's been really valuable to us is OutSchool. Like, sometimes it's just for entertainment and learning something new. And sometimes it's like, when Braylon had some issues with math, we got him basically an OutSchool tutor for like 3 sessions, and it put him right back on track.
And if your kid is accelerating in one or another topic in particular, and they're getting throttled at Acelus, for example, math, you can go to Khan Academy and go as fast as you want. And you will find something like that for just about any topic they're interested in. When they're driving what they're interested in, they will learn super fast.
Yeah.
Ferguson taught himself to read in 2 weeks. You know that, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. He was like 11 years old and still couldn't read. And he asked his mom about something about plants. And she said, well, if you knew how to read, it's in that book right there. And he learned how to read in 2 weeks.
Yep.
He just needed the right motivation. And she never worried about him not being able to read, even though technically you're supposed to be able to start reading when you're 6 or whatever the rule is.
It's humans immersion. Learn what we need to learn when we need to learn it.
Or when we want to learn it.
Yep. and when we need to learn it, too. Like, there's nothing that makes you want something more than when you know you need it, right? Not when somebody else says you need it. But I covered this, like, probably 12, 14 years ago. There was this experiment they did in India. They went to like a rural village and they set up a bank of computers. All these kids speak Hindi. All the computers are in American only, no instruction manuals, no nothing. They just set up the computers and walked away. And they came back in 6 months and the fucking kids were doing everything with the computers. They were using the internet. They were writing code. They were speaking English, right? They were learning other languages, and they had to use the machine as it was dropped and figure it out. And so I think we've gotten into this weird place that we believe that somebody needs to have a master's degree to teach 4th fucking grade. And I think it's the dumbest thing that I've ever heard in my life. I always put it this way, except for like the emotional maturity level, in theory, a 5th grader with straight A's should be able to teach 4th grade. And if they can't, what the fuck are we doing? What is the value of your 4th grade graduation if a 5th grader with straight A's can't teach 4th grade level material?
I just saw a short of this, looked like a girl, saying, you know, I talk to my students and sexuality and blah, 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 and it's not appropriate to talk about my relationship in class, so I tell them that we have to talk about it at lunch or out of school. What in the fuck are you doing talking to kids out of school or even at lunch about your your sex behavior like that. And you go, well, sure, that's not real, right? That's not real.
No, it's
real.
But then
you go and you actually go and ask kids, don't approach strangers' kids, but ask people who you know's children just at the grocery store and ask them, hey, do you have litter boxes? Have you ever seen a litter box? And every one of them is going to be like, yeah, we have a litter box and there's two cats in class. Like, it's real shit. As fucking absolutely insane as this sounds. And somebody said, hell no to REI. Like, if you're here at SRF this weekend, ask Amanda what I think about REI. Like, every now and then I'm like, let's go to REI and just see how crazy it is. And I walk out of there like physically angry. We used to go to REI every weekend, like as a destination. We had real friends that worked at REI, and it is so absolutely just bizarre now.
Dorothy just told me, and I haven't verified this to be true, but you know, Target had the whole thing with the Tuckums for kids.
Yep.
What she told me, she read somewhere that they now at Target have baby clothes with Tuckums so that you can wait till the child decides what they are. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, like, that should be the last straw for anybody with any decency to ever give the people that run Target a penny of your money ever again.
So like, as big as that Target shit blew up on them, you guys should all follow Robbie Starbuck on Instagram.
Okay.
He's the one that outed the Harley Davidson stuff. Caterpillar did the same shit. Tractor Supply, all that huge where Tractor Supply, that all blew up on them. That CEO was going to all the cross-dressing, what do they call the guys that dress as women? And for all the kids and shit, they were doing that in Franklin, here in Tennessee, right outside of Nashville. Like, that shit was all happening, and he busted all that out. John Deere just jumped on, and he's outing it so fast that people are inundating their call systems and emails, and they're backing out of this DEI stuff, and they're backing out of the, like, there's some governing body.
There's a lot of people bailing on it.
Yeah, there's these governing bodies, and you have to meet these 10 points to be rated in their rankings, and they're all jumping ship. Like, he is unthreading this so quickly.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are like, this isn't working. Like, everything they do, they ruin. They ruin Star Wars, right? Think about it. Disney did this thing. I don't remember what it's called, the Accolade, right? And they made that Star Wars series about lesbian space witches.
Yes.
And your primary demographic is like 15 to 40 year old men, and you made them not interested in a show about lesbian space witches. How bad did you? That sounds like a porno.
Well, how's right? Disney like, stock
young
doing?
Guys should be all like lesbian space, and as soon as they wait, that's not what I expected, and they're out. Like, you ruined one of the most successful movie franchises in the history of the world with your shit, but we're just going to double down and do it again.
So I don't think Disney's learned. George Lucas even blasted them on it. I mean, how's Disney stock doing right now?
Oh,
how's
shit.
The attendance at Disneyland? Like, if you even look and see how much it costs to go to Disneyland for the weekend now.
I have no idea because I don't care.
Correct, I see people. Yeah.
I wonder how much they are, though. Now I'm interested.
Yeah, now we got to Google that.
Now I got to Google it.
I should know because I haven't been to Disneyland since I was 3 or 4. I keep wanting to go back when I'm there, but I'm like, but it's a long drive.
Man, Disneyland used to really be something. You know, it was something special as a kid.
One day tickets, $89 to $124 a day. 2 day tickets, $178 to $248 a day.
And that's not staying on property. That's none of the meals. That's none of the packages.
Gate prices, minimum $110 to get in the door. But yeah, that's not, you don't get shit for that.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I remember Disney being cool as shit, right? I remember being a kid, 70s, early 80s. What did you watch every Sunday? Even, right?
Yep.
Disney.
World of Disney.
Wonderful World of Disney.
And Mutual of Omaha.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Disney, and then there was the sports thing, the one that they had the Agony of Defeat guy on. A Wild World of Sports. That was your Sunday. And it's all gone. It's all garbage now.
Aaron cartoon, says, Dollywood.
Not anymore. Dollywood's wrecked right now.
Yeah, it's probably underwater or was.
Yeah.
I saw Galveston got wrecked pretty hard, too. Not Galveston, Gatlinburg.
Gatlinburg got nailed. Gatlinburg. They were underwater.
Yeah, and they do every year now. Every
bro,
year
they can't catch a break. They've had how many major fires, floods? Like, no, they can't get a break.
They clean up really fast there too.
Their last high point was when Ronnie Millsap put them in a song.
So,
and I love the place. Don't get me wrong, I love going there, but shit.
What happened with the 24-inch gas main break? There was a natural gas fire shooting hundreds of feet up in the air. I believe it was in Houston. And the last I saw was that it was sabotaged, and then you didn't see shit about it. But there was helicopters up, and they're like, we're at 400 feet right now, and that fire is right here. It was huge, dude. It was insane. Yeah. They had evacuated all of the town around there. And then what happened in Ohio with the train? There was another train derailment in Ohio. And then you have the chemical plant. They say it's a biological facility, but there is a chemical fire just outside of Atlanta. And they were evacuating all of those towns. And then I just saw someplace that said there's a evacuation due to chlorine gas in the air also. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, the chlorine one is like this giant cloud. I saw that. I wasn't aware of the thing in Houston with the natural gas.
You can actually opt out of the RFID bracelets at Disney right now, but they're saying it's a testing ground for technocratic control. They do. They have facial recognition and all of that set up. John Bush was there, I think, this year. And he's like, I had to go to like this special little room to get through the whole opt-out process. And
that's all that technology is being put into all of your new roadways and all of your interstates. And like Jack talked about a couple of years ago, Congress actually passed that in 2025, this past years ago, in 2025, every new vehicle produced has to have that kill switch. That all integrates with all of that tracking on all of those. And they disable your car, if you think about it, they can disable your car for the last 20 years.
Do you guys know who Larry Ellison is? He's like the third richest person on the planet. Oracle. He was founder of Oracle. There's video of him out right now saying that they're building the AI-driven surveillance system to make sure everybody behaves.
In China, if you look at people, there's U.S. citizens visiting relatives in China, and their relatives go to the grocery store and are not able to buy certain things because of the social credit score. And when they go into their community, there is a gate and something that looks like an iPad, and they put their face in front of it, and that's what allows them in and out. And sometimes, depending on what's been said, they're not able to move into certain areas. Those videos have been up on YouTube for over 5 years now.
Yeah, and people don't believe that could happen here.
Well, it is happening here. That's right. I mean, if you look at Agenda 21 has become Agenda 30, and now we're calling them smart cities. And it's not Agenda. It's called America 2050. Look up America 2050.
Yeah.
They're building three of those cities right now. They want to convert over here in Tennessee. Good news. I heard they named seven states that are much overpriced, and they said that the availability of housing is not matching the sales. They expect the cost of housing and property in Tennessee to come down 30% in the next 12 months. They named six other states, but they didn't affect me, so I don't have them in my
head. Right. That's that 15-minute city thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That they're talking about where you can walk everywhere. I'm like, they've been trying to do that my whole life. And it never works because people go where the jobs are. And if you lose your job that's 15 minutes from your house and have to go 45, you're going to go 45.
Yeah. Well,
2 hours or 4 hours if you're in California.
And that's part of the plan with the electric vehicles. That's the whole electric vehicle thing.
Yeah. Question from Aaron. Can states do anything to push back on this? And
can or will? Those are different words.
So I would say Tennessee banned chemtrails and weather modification, right? And you'd be like, well, they're going to do whatever they want to do. Yeah. They don't claim the airspace. But I will say, like, you can call me crazy and conspiracy theorist, whatever. We have actual clouds up in the sky. We have for the last 6 months. There's real clouds. You see way less chemtrails, contrails, call them whatever you want. But there's way less of that shit. And we have actual clouds now. Whereas if you look back the last 24 months, we very rarely had any clouds. It was just haze everywhere. And then you also had state of Tennessee talk about they wanted to require disclose the vaccinations in produce and the dosages, because if a six-year-old child eats this lettuce versus a 200-pound man, and what that did was, in under oath, they actually disclosed that, yes, this technology is available and on the shelf in the grocery store currently.
The other thing is, every time your locality starts pushing for land use planning and zoning, that's how they get it done. And a lot of people who are on the more freedom side will get all upset and in their local communities push for zoning because they're trying to save farmland, or they don't want the rock quarry coming in, or pig farms, or whatever it is. That's the control they need to enact things like Agenda 2030 or whatever it is for 2050 now. It's the same rolling policy. They give it different names because as they're pushing it, it loses popularity, because what it does is force people into high density situations and impoverish them. And then people realize what's going on and they're like, yeah, I don't want that Agenda 2021 anymore. So then they have to change it to 2030.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a huge part of our real estate problem right now is directly related to local governance with square footage. Yep. So we were looking at buying a piece of land west of here, about 15 miles, very, very rural area. We're just kicking the tires on it. It seemed like a good deal. And we thought, well, we could build a house on it. And it turned out, well, is there any restrictions? Well, only one. Okay, I like that. What is the restriction? Minimum square footage, 2,500.
Yep.
What? Now, honestly, if I would have bought and built a house, I probably would have built a 2,500-foot square house anyway. But then you're wondering, well, why can't people that are 25, 35 years old try to get their first house, buy that little 1,300-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath? Because it doesn't exist anymore. When my father-in-law passed away, we sold his house. It sold in, like, a day. Because he had one of the, like, older, small, like, it was 1,100 square foot. And it sold for cash. So we had, like, six offers on it. And this is going back, like, 6 years. Like, it instantly had six cash offers on it because they don't exist. You can't get one. And so I've heard all this bullshit about, well, it's the builders that want to build smaller houses. Builder will build whatever fuck sells. They don't give a shit. They will build whatever sells. They can't do it. And that's Johnson County, Texas. There ain't even a big city in Johnson County. Go look it up. I mean, we got Fort Worth and some other pretty good sized towns. Johnson ain't got shit. Like, Weatherford is the biggest city, and it's about the size of, like, that town near you, Nicole. Center, whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
Centerville?
Yeah.
Chattanooga?
Maybe. No, that's between John and Nashville. Whatever the town is kind of up north of you off the highway.
Clarksville.
It's about that big. That's how big the biggest city in the freaking county is, and you can't build a house that's 2,000 square foot or 1,800 square foot.
Which means
because they want to protect the tax rolls. That's their justification.
That means you can't have your kids build a house on your property with you. They have to have another one. You can't build a grandma and mother-in-law flat that's detached. It has to be attached to your building.
Okay. We can do that. If you're unincorporated, which that place was, your primary residence has to meet the square footage requirements. If you build additional property and you don't subdivide it, you can put anything you want to on it.
So we have no codes, no zoning, but the city is chomping at the bit to try to incorporate us. And now they're putting a 4-lane road in, which gives them, well, we've got all this traffic. It's going to bring these people in. They've hired this code enforcement guy seemingly out of the nowhere from Chicago. And he is just chomping at the bit. He's like, sooner or later, I'm going to have, like, we're going to be able to, get these people. It's just absolutely insane.
They want to regulate and control everything. I've been to your place, like that road. When you're doing an event, there's probably more people in Camden than there is any other time.
Yeah.
And there's no traffic problem on that road. There's no need to expand that road.
Dude, check this out. 4-lane road with a median, and they're putting sidewalks. There's nobody out here that walks to need a sidewalk. So not only sidewalks with handicap divots, right? Nobody rides a cart around here. There's nobody around here that walks anywhere.
Yeah, that's in front of SOE.
Only crackheads. Only crackheads.
Well, if it's any consolation, John, they did that to us out here, and then they ran out of money, and it ended up not being that. They just tore out all the houses that were in their way.
I believe that's what it's about, right? Federal grant money every year. You have to pass this other bullshit or we're not going to give you any more. And they come through and they tear the roof off the building so they collapse. And then a couple of years later, they move the water line. Then a couple of years later, they move the gas line. Like, dude, they did this one county up. 6 years later, they're still not done with the shit. You could literally land aircraft on this road. It's so big now.
If Benton County has initiative and referendum where the citizens can say, we want to pass this, and they have to collect signatures and then you get it on the ballot and then you can vote on it, you could actually probably, with the energy that's in that county, completely tie that code enforcer's hand by doing some sort of a referendum that prohibits the establishments of codes.
Well, he self-titled him the chicken police, like he named himself, right? So they've got Dawn Gorham awake, and she's like, hey, if anybody has any fines or penalties, bring them to my husband's law firm, and we will assist with this. There's a bunch of stuff going on. Like, we have a county mayor and a city mayor, and they have just voted to buy this building on a corner for the county mayor in case he ever has a meeting with government officials, which apparently has never happened. There's a lot of, like, I'm not very involved with it. You hear them saying it's a lot of corruption. If you guys want to, anybody, you want to see some crazy shit, join Hip Camden, Tennessee on Facebook. You will see some look at my job postings when I'm hiring. You will see 300 people like I would never, like, they're not employed. It's just absolutely insane. But if you want a few minutes of entertainment, like, we are in the most impoverished county of all of Tennessee. You can see some Jerry Springer shit.
Yeah, he'll be like, I have jobs. This is what you have to do the job. Question one, what do I have to do to get the job? How much does the job pay? What are the hours for the job?
And then people are like,
here's the deal. You just have to go there and they'll try you. I would never work for free to see if I can actually do the thing I'm being hired
to. Well, it's the my husband, Bobby, he's holding out for a management position. You're like, oh, cool. Where has he worked? Like, what's his resume look like? Well, he's waiting for a management position. Right. But like, what qualifies him to be a manager? Else. Well, he's never had a job because they won't give him a management position. He knows his worth.
That was in Christmas Vacation.
Got it.
Yeah. Uncle Cousin Eddie. He's holding out for a management position. Right.
Yeah.
It's Cousin Eddie. That there's an RV.
Yeah. We had we do this. I do this every 6 months. Hey, we're hiring. We're taking auditions is what I say for hiring. And we get about 20 that show up and 10 of them never sit on a sewing machine. They come in and they're like, I'm here for an application. I'm like, well, your application is that sewing machine. Sit down and let's see if you want to do the job and if we want you to do the job. Yeah. Oh, well, no, thanks. And they leave. We hired 10 for they just don't come back the next day. And we're at 6. 2 have weeded themselves out, and we have 4, you know, good people that will probably stick.
Yeah.
And then still, 3 weeks later, well, what's the address? I intentionally don't put the address. Like, if you can't figure out how to get here, you're definitely not going to last this breathing the same air I'm breathing in the building.
Yeah, that's.
And they take real issue with it. They take real issue with, like, how come he won't tell us where it's at?
Because if you drive and notice the sign where you drive once in a while, you don't really. I mean, if you're from Camden, you would think you would figure out where it is.
Because if you can't find it, you're not qualified to work here. That's the answer.
I made a post. All you have to do is click my name. It will show you. You know, it's all there.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to hire someone that you have to stand over top of. You want somebody that can get things done.
Yeah.
And if you can't figure out an address, then you can't get things done. I'm sorry. I cannot put you in a position. And I like John's approach. When somebody says they want a raise, he's like, well, you can work more hours. You have all the money you want. Just keep working.
We do give raises. We never have given a raise to somebody that asked for it.
Ah.
Because if I felt you would do a raise, we would have. We don't even tell people when I give them a raise. Hey, put it on a check. And some of them never even notice it. Like, they just don't know.
Yeah.
It's one way to do it.
We have a girl working here, and I said, hey, you're late every day. I need you to maintain. I go, you're good at what you do when you can do it. I said, I'm going to give you a $2 an hour raise, and the $2 an hour raise is contingent that you maintain 40 hours a week. And I looked it out, and I'm like, okay, this is $5,000 more a year if you just are here 40 hours a week. we gave her that raise months ago. We've never paid her the $2 an hour raise. Not once has she ever gotten it. She's like under 30 hours every week. Yeah.
Here's your path. You don't want to walk it. You don't get the what's at the end of it.
That's more than $5,000 then, because the 10 hours she didn't work.
Yeah, you're right. But just over the 40. I don't remember what it was. It's like $5,000 or something.
Yeah. That's crazy. It never occurred to me I was allowed to be late for work.
You're not.
No.
It was like I have
fired this person six times. She is just bold enough. She's actually really good. She is just bold enough that after I fire her, she will wait. She'll come back and sit down on a sewing machine, and I'll walk through there three or four times. I'm like, what the fuck is she doing in here? You know? And I'm just like, she's got a pile of work there. Just let her go.
Yeah.
She just wants to work 30 hours a week.
Whatever. I mean, let's make it 30. Like because we sort, I mean, you know how it is running a business. You task these things. Like the employee doesn't see when they get here at 8 o'clock, they don't see the 3 hours that you've prepped everything so that runs correctly.
Yeah. Well, and then you have a certain volume, and when that doesn't get done, it still has to get done by somebody. And then that lands back on you.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I production sew a lot of days. Scully said, John told me 10 years ago, he's a $500 an hour employee doing $15 an hour work all the time. And that, I'm like, holy shit, you're right. I did say that. That's a great way to put it. I catch Amanda all the time. I'm like, what are you doing breaking those boxes down? What are you doing? Like, you have employees to do that. We'll get another one. I'll just get a person that just follows you around and you just point.
I think there is some.
She does it anyway because she's like, it's got to be done.
You know, I think when you're running a business, like doing not, I wouldn't say do it often, but like the fact that people that work for you see you take care of something like that here and there a little bit, I think that actually makes people a little bit more loyal to you, that you'll get in there and work with them.
I do the dishes. I clean the toilet. I do all of the, like, because I feel like an asshole. I'm like, hey, bro, you're the new guy. You got to clean the toilet. Like, I do all of that shit. Plus, if you task somebody to do something they don't want to do, you're paying them an hour to do it when I can do it in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I get that.
That's because they spend so much time worrying about doing it rather than doing it.
Yeah,
asking
I do a lot
questions
of
questions about how to do the thing.
Yeah, or, I mean, we have a whole, what's that thing called when you do the video on the screen? What's that?
The video on the screen.
Yeah, the
like
presentation. A presentation.
PowerPoint?
PowerPoint. We have a whole PowerPoint on how to clean the bathroom. We have a whole PowerPoint on how to use the toilet.
And those are the things people don't realize happen when you own a business. You're like,
well, it's because
what are you fixed?
young people they've not been in the Boy Scouts. They've not necessarily been to jail. They've definitely not been in the military, right? So you don't have the self-governance or the, hey, this is how you do these things. They just don't know. We just assume that people grow up in the manner we grow up. But when you step just a couple houses next door, things are totally different inside that house than they are in your house, because things are like we don't know the name of our neighbors anymore. You don't get together. You don't go to the same church. You see people at school, but you have no idea what the household is inside.
Jack saying, I saw an actual Air Force training PowerPoint on the danger of geese on the base.
Yep. That's real, though. Yeah,
they were showing like how to like.
and God forbid.
Geese by a goose, please.
And God forbid you touch one of those geese. Meanwhile, the immigrants are eating the geese, Canada geese that we can't even run off of our property.
Yeah.
And then you have one that shot a bald eagle. And they put him in custody and released him the next day. Like, literally, could you imagine if you had a bald eagle feather? Yes, you would. I was in federal prison with an Indian that had some bald eagle shit.
Yeah, yeah. They would have put me in federal prison for the rest of my life over shooting an eagle.
Yes.
Yep. Craziness. All right, well, we're coming up on 2 hours, guys. You want to go once around the horn?
Sure.
I got to get my butt to Camden today. Jack, you start.
I am Jack Spierko, host of The Survival Podcast, located at thesurvivalpodcast.com. If you want to email me, and you know my name's Jack and what my website is, in John's words, you should be able to figure out how that works if you want to get in touch with me. But if you want to check out my podcast because you're new and you're from Nicole or John's tribe and you haven't ever heard me before, just go over there and check it out. We've done 3,560-something episodes at this point. Been doing it for 16 years. We cover everything that we're talking about today and tons of other stuff as well. And I will see all y'all in Camden. I'll be there Friday afternoon sometime.
Awesome. John, you go.
Special Operations Equipment, that's the name of my social media on all platforms. Make sure you follow me on Instagram. Content's a little different. I do a live video every night at 9 o'clock. We've got over 5,000 videos on YouTube. And SOE Tactical Gear is the name of the website if you want to see what we build. We do a different shirt every week, stuff like this, current events, light politics, and we release a different shirt every week. We do 120 pieces, and we never rerun the same design.
All right. I'm Nicole Soss from the Living Free in Tennessee podcast and Holler Roast Coffee. I'm drinking out of my Guantanamo Bay mug today, which is not something everybody has, but I happen to have one. That's because I know it's time to go into the trenches and get ready for the Self-Reliance Festival at Camden, which is hosted at Special Operations Equipment. And if you're just hearing about it now, it's this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday. You can find out all the information at selfrelianceFestival.com as well as get tickets. We've got this really cool field guide here that just talks all about it. Your ticket gets you access to camping. But there's also pre-event workshops. Our first ones are on Wednesday. We've got Fight Hacker Escapology with Sonny Pazukas. Jack, is he a good teacher for this sort of thing?
Yes, he is. He's an excellent teacher. Is he going to be there for the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I like
that. So that's... if I was going to get this kind of training, which I'm not because I'll be getting ready for the event, I'm going to have to travel away from Camden to do it. That would be who I'd want to learn it from. We've also got Chuck Peoples from Homestead Medical doing advanced wound closure classes, and you're going home with a closure kit. A bunch of other stuff there. Check it out. SelfRelianceFestival.com if you want to come out. Yes, we are selling tickets at the door. That is a thing that does happen. But it's going to be a really good time, and I can't wait to get there. And all of the rain that came has already come.
Yes.
So we're not worried.
It's nice here.
Yeah, it's super nice there. So it's the perfect weather for it. It's going to be low 80s during the day, 50s at night. So you can sleep in your tent. And that's going to be great. See you guys there.
See ya.
Bye. They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month. And you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.